We're going to celebrate the future now, which is just kind of another funny way. It's like the movie Back to the Future, you know? It's just a funny way of saying, let's get excited about what God is going to be doing in the life of our church. So what I want to do very, very briefly and very quickly is just kind of give you an idea of some of the things that are in the horizon for Taproot Church. And the first thing that I want to do is, since we are framing this Sunday around our core convictions, I just want to remind you of three things that I mentioned during the core conviction series that are going to be incredibly important in the life of our church as we move forward. And the first thing is this. These are three things that are going to be very important to who we are. And when I talked about them then, it was mainly as big ideas, but I just want to add a little bit more meat to the bone this morning, and I'll do this incredibly quick. The first thing is this. One thing that we will focus on as we move to the future is pastoral care. Pastoral care matters. Pastoral care is a big deal. Pastors are to shepherd the flock. You can find this idea in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Peter exhorting pastors to shepherd God's people with willingness, with eagerness, with joy. The leaders of the church are to care for, they are to protect, they are to love the people of God. They are not to butcher them, they are not to browbeat them or manipulate them, they are to shepherd them as a picture of the willing and joyful love of the chief shepherd, Jesus. Now, what does that mean? This means that we are going to pray for you as your pastors. We are going to pursue you. We are going to be available to you for counseling. We will listen to you. We will welcome you into our homes. We will share coffee with you. We will, in difficult and in painful moments, we are going to be a peaceful presence, a guiding resource, and a stable source of strength. We will rejoice with you. We will weep with you. We will walk with you in peaks and in the valleys, all the while looking to Jesus and challenging all of us, you, to grow in grace and in his likeness. So pastoral care is a big deal to what we will do as a church. The second thing is this. I've talked about this before in our core conviction series. We are going to equip, empower, and release you to do ministry. We will equip the saints and release them, empower them for ministry. If you call Jesus your Savior, God has given you his Holy Spirit, who has given you a gift that is unique to you. And he has given you the desire and the ability to use it. God uniquely gifts you with his grace to be involved in his mission. That means that you, as a child of God, like me, are ministers of the gospel. You are just as much a part of the mission of God in the world as I am or any other one of our pastors or ministry leaders. You are just gifted differently than I am, but your gifts are to be used the same way as my gifts are used. As shepherds, we are to equip you to use your gifts. When you look at Paul's statement in Ephesians 4 about the leaders in the church, he said this very thing clearly. We are to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To that end, we will preach the whole counsel of God on our Sunday gatherings. We will provide classes, Bible studies, etc. This also means that we will equip you, but release you and empower you to do ministry. We never want to look at you and think, how can they serve us? How can they fit this cog in the machine? Rather, we want to look at you and say, how can we, as your pastors, as your leaders, serve you that you might go and do what God has called you to do? Part of equipping means that we will train new leaders. Paul made this clear to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. This must become a significant part of who we are, because if we aren't developing new leaders, the church will die. It is that critically important. More leaders means greater care. More leaders means greater equipping. More leaders means greater opportunities for the mission of God to be accomplished. Now, let me give you some specifics as to how we will be doing some equipping. When it comes to our Sunday gatherings, something to look forward to in our sermon series. We're going to be wrapping up. This sounds kind of really goofy what I just said. But we are going to be wrapping up our Exodus series in March, the second-ish week of March. So that is, we're going to look through a lot of scripture in the next few weeks, and it's going to be really good. Then we're going to enter into this series that we're still trying to kind of come up with a name for. But the idea of this series is, because of our position in Christ, what should be our practice? So very foundational in the sense of, we're going to talk about what does prayer mean? What does it mean to worship? What does it mean to make disciples, to be on mission, how do you read the Bible to enjoy God? Then we're going to take about 12 weeks to look at the great story of the Bible. We're going to look at creation, fall, redemption, restoration. How does the whole Bible fit together? And I think it's going to be a kick. It's going to be awesome. And lastly, we want to finish out the year by looking at the book of Colossians and delighting in the supremacy of Jesus. So that's going to be Sunday mornings. We talked a bit about classes. We've got some ideas, some plans for a few classes to be launched in the fall. A couple things we're thinking through are maybe a parenting class, a finance class. And I think those two would be very helpful. Pastor Jim, wherever he's at, over there, he's still teaching his foundations class. It's kind of a biblical theology class. We have we've been thinking through how could we do a Bible study or a class through the Song of Solomon, which is something the church doesn't talk about a lot, and that we've got some of our elders who are potentially excited to do this, and I think that'd be fantastic as well. I launched a class in September that I'm kind of beta testing, a class called Life and Doctrine. So this idea that doctrine is a big thing, how we think matters, but it should affect how we live. And so we're kind of doing this class once a month. We've got about 10 people in the class, and we might think as we kind of work out some of the kinks, we'll make that available in the fall. Bible studies, our women's ministry is thinking through planning, through launching some Bible studies in the next few months. And man, we're the men in the house. We're trying to get the men together. We haven't been together in a long time. So I think we're going to try some men's gatherings, being together, hanging out, eating food, and loving Jesus together. So those are just a few ways in which we're going to be equipped and growing and maturing for works of ministry. The last thing is this. So pastoral care is going to matter. Equipping the saints is going to matter. And three, mission is going to matter. The book of Matthew ends. Pastor Jim preached through the Great Commission a few weeks ago. Go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, right? Go and make disciples of Jesus. The mission of Taproot Church is this. You can find this on our website, on our Facebook. It says this: Taproot Church exists to make disciples of all nations. A disciple is someone who has radically reoriented their life around Jesus. If Jesus is the answer to everything for all people, then we make it our mission that all peoples would follow Jesus. We follow Jesus by faith, by engaging in community, studying of the Bible, worship, service, and sacrifice. As we follow Jesus, we engage our circle of influence with his life through our lives, thus making disciples. Being and making disciples of Jesus is our mission. Taproot Church exists to make disciples of Jesus for the glory of God. Now, very quickly, we believe that we have been sovereignly and providentially planted in this location, in this neighborhood, right in the heart of Burien. We have people that come to Taproot from West Seattle all the way to Des Moines and all over the place. If you just focus on that strip, Alki 2, Des Moines, there are about 250,000 people, lots of them who need Jesus. I heard a pastor recently say this: the greatest sin of the church today is not any sin of commission or sin of omission, but the sin of no mission. A healthy church, a true church, is a church on mission, one that follows Jesus as disciples while making disciples of others. A church on mission maintains both an outward and inward orientation with the hope of the gospel and works of grace. We grow in depth, in maturity, in our character, in our life, but we also grow in width as many more people come to know Christ. We are to reach out, gather in, and worship Jesus together in all of life. We gather, we scatter, and we worship. When a church loses sight of the mission Christ gave to us to make disciples, it not only ceases to participate in Christ's ingathering of those he calls to himself, but it also begins to die. A church can only live as she abides in Christ, and Jesus is definitely on mission. So to abide with him, we must also go with him. God has given us, church, the ministry of reconciliation. The great plan of God is to redeem and reconcile people of all tribes, all tongues, all nations back to himself through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This Jesus was sent from the Father by the Spirit to reconcile people from every tongue, every nation back to God, back to himself. And we, the church, we, God's people, are God's means to accomplish this task. And as witnesses of Jesus, we are called by God to testify of him to others through our work, through our recreation in our homes. And we should not wait for next year. The time is now and the need is now. So we're going to be on mission. Now, let me give you a few specific opportunities that we are we have available to us. The first one is this. With the idea that God has providentially placed us in this location, if you consider that Highline High School is literally two blocks to our that way, east, and if you consider that Sylvester Middle School is three blocks to our south, I think I got that right. We've been thinking about how can we get involved with these schools. The public school, the school, those two schools are a reflection of our very diverse community. And so we are pursuing a partnership with through Young Life to get connected with Sylvester Middle School to do all kind of different potential activities with them. Potentially, we're going to have some open gyms available there. There's tons and tons of kids that are hanging out at Sylvester till they get kicked out because they don't want to go home. They don't have mom and dad maybe working, so they're just hanging out at the school. And what a cool opportunity for us to go and open up the gym, play some basketball, shoot some hoops, play some four square, hang out, kickball, and love on these kids who are just hanging out there and just a few blocks down the street from us. We're going to be potentially doing some backpack drives, school supply drives, coat drives, etc. for the school. But here is the thing. We are praying that God would raise up somebody from within our church to say, man, that seems like something that I would love to kind of head on and lead. We don't just want to do this, the Sylvester Middle School program. Everybody get in line, you know? We're praying. Is God burdening somebody to kind of head this ministry up? And if you sense that God is leading you and calling you to do this, come and find me. We'd love to talk to you and just kind of see where that could lead. Does that make sense? Second thing, in the summer, as you know, I love the beautiful game, soccer. And if you've been on missions at all, if you've been outside of the United States ever, soccer is the greatest sport ever played, the most famous sport ever played. I grew up in Mexico, played soccer all my life, and as you realize, our community is incredibly diverse. My son played soccer for SeaTac United, and literally my son, who is a mixed kid, was the kid who had the lightest skin in his team. So we've got a lot of guys in the church, a lot of gals in the church who have also played and coached soccer. So we're thinking through doing kind of a soccer camp in the summer, like a free soccer camp for our community. Invite kids to come and hang out and us just love on them and use the beautiful sport of soccer to love on kids and tell them that Jesus is better and that he has a plan for his life, for their lives. So if you love soccer, come find me. We'll hang out. We'll play something. And then we'll plan this great soccer summer outreach, okay? We're going to be intentionally and purposely very much involved in what is going on in our community. We want to be intentional about serving and being a part of and around the different things that happen in Burien and around this community, like the Burien Clean Sweep, the Family Fun Runs, the Great Day of Play, Awesome Kids Day, the 4th of July Parade, maybe an Easter egg hunt around the city. We are called to love our city and to be a faithful presence in what is going on in and around Burien. We are still involved in Transform Burien. If you've never been a part of that, I encourage you to go and serve and love on some of the most needy people in our community. We're also going to be doing, in the spirit of Acts 2, a few community-focused care and shares where we just have, we bring in, our pool our resources together to bless the community with them, our community who is in much need. We're going to be intentionally pursuing and planning to maybe launch maybe once a quarter or something like that, kind of a very intentional bilingual gathering. Taproot. Where do we live? Burien. Burien is 35% Hispanic. My first language is Spanish. So how can we make somebody that speaks Spanish, how can we make them easy for them to come and to sing in their language and to hear the message of the gospel translated or preached in their language? That would be a beautiful thing. So we're going to be thinking through, planning through how that could happen. A great opportunity to be on mission. Listen, you might think this is funny, but our kids and our student ministry, the greatest number of unbelievers in our church are in classes every single week. What a great opportunity for you, for us, to go and be a gospel witness to them, to love them, to tell them that Christ is better. So if you serve within children's ministry, thank you. Thank you for doing that. We also still need help. We want to open up the 3rd through 5th grade classroom, which requires teachers and helpers and volunteers, and we need help. That is a great opportunity for you to be on mission. We're going to continue to plant churches. As we grow, may God allow us to continue to send people to plant more churches. God's plan to redeem people is through the church, and may we be able to plant many, many more faith families all throughout Washington and beyond. And listen, we're gonna plan for this. We're gonna build systems for this. We're gonna provide opportunities. But the biggest thing we can do is we're gonna pray. Like a farmer who gets up every morning faithfully to plant and to weed and to water and to nurture. We're going to do all of that. And then we're going to get on our knees and we're going to ask God to send rain. We're going to pray. Hopefully provide opportunities for us to do this more and more. Maybe like a pre-service prayer during the season of Lent and maybe even beyond. Maybe a once a week prayer gathering where we can all just hang out and pray as we are together looking to be on mission. And anyways, I just blitzed through a lot in a very quick amount of time. But pastoral care, equipping and releasing the saints, and being on mission. May it not be said of us that we are guilty of the sin of no mission. Lots of opportunities, you guys. And again, if you are feeling this burden to potentially be the lead for the Sylvester Middle School Partnership, come find me. I would love to talk to you and just see how that can be developed. Okay, let's pray. We're going to finish our morning with, we're going to worship. We've got lots of reason to worship. God is a great God who is at work in the life of his people, and we are excited about what he's going to be doing in the future. So let's pray, you guys, and let's sing. Father, I thank you for this morning. You're a great God. There is none like you. I thank you for the many different stories of faithfulness, of your kindness and your mercy, the things you're doing among your people. You are awesome. Thank you for being at work. And also thank you for not only what you're doing, but what you're going to do. Thank you for how you're going to use Taproot to seek the good of the city, to be on mission. Thank you for how you're going to use our church so that many people would come to know Christ and find life in him. Thank you for the location where you've planted us, God. Thank you for our leaders, Lord. Thank you for our the volunteers that serve week in and week out. Thank you for our kids. You've been so good to us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to not grow weary in doing good. And help us to do it all for the glory of God. So help us to be encouraged. You're at work. And help us to be excited about what you're going to do in the future, Lord. And with that, we will stand. We will worship loud. Because you, God, deserve our praise and our worship. And I pray this in Jesus' good name. Amen.